Hey, this is Greg Sanders. Thanks for listening today. It's our hope that this message will help you connect to God, grow in His Word, and serve the kingdom in a greater capacity. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
We are in week 3 of our series called It All Starts at Home. Heard a mom say this about a week ago, that when it comes to our families, when it comes to our kids, that sometimes it can seem like parents are in a war with the culture that we live in. How many believe that? We kind of live in a culture war, and it's not just against a person, it's against any person that wants to stand for the Lord. And during this series, we kind of have this one phrase I'm saying every single week, and that is this, that our homes are either launching pads or they are stumbling blocks for our lives and the lives of our family. In other words, what happens in our home, whether you're a single person or a married couple, or whether you have a full family with kids at home, or maybe you're an empty nester, it's same for all of us, that what happens in our home is either something that sets us up or something that trips us up. It's something that strengthens us or it's something that weakens us. When we come home in the evening, it's either a place of healing or it's a place of injury. Let me ask you, what is your home like? It's because what we're going through, the strength of our lives, it all starts at home. And so I got to ask you, what's happening in your home? We all have different stories of what our homes were like once upon a time. Some of them would be horrendous, some of them are tremendous. We all have stories right now of what our homes are like. But I want to tell you, no matter what your home was like, or no matter what your home is like, God can bring life to your home. Your home can be a place of healing. Your home can be a place of transformation to the positive. Your home can be a place where God's glory dwells. Can somebody say amen? See, I'm of the opinion that when you walk into a Christian home, you ought to feel something you don't feel when you walk into an unbeliever's home. Amen? And it's not the scent of the candle, it's the presence of God. And God's presence wants to fill your home. Many of you, I've walked into your homes and I've been touched by the presence of God, that I know that you're honoring God in your home. And I say God bless you for that. And right before I get into today's scripture, I just want to make one more announcement because you haven't had enough. Parents, on the first Sunday of every month, did you know that Pastor Crystal and Pastor Dave are sending your kids home with a sheet like this that tells you everything they are going to be learning that month, including the scriptures that they're going to be focusing on and asking your kids to memorize? And so if you ever want to kind of have a reiteration of what's going on in kids' church, you just want in on what's going on, make sure you stop by and grab one of these. I know sometimes my kids, they might bring one home, but it lives like in the floorboard of our car from Sunday to Sunday. And then I find it the next Sunday when I'm cleaning out the car, that, oh, we should have looked at that this past week. But you can do better than I do. You can stop by. You can be looking for that. Here's our scripture, how God can transform any home. You ready? Two of you are ready. Three of you. Awesome. Here we go. Ephesians chapter 4. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins, you used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. I want to just take a moment and point this out. When you are looking at the news this afternoon, when you're encountering people who are walking in flagrant disobedience to God, I want to remind you that our war is not with flesh and blood. Right? There is a spirit. There is another power that is working in the lives of those who are disobeying the Word of God. And all of us, verse number 3 says, all of us used to live that way. All of us. If you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, no, I've always been the way I am. That's not as good of a statement as you think it is. All that means is you have not yet completely surrendered your life to Christ, if there's been no change. We all used to live that way, following the passionate desires and the inclinations, easy for me to say, inclinations of our spirit, sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subjects to God's anger, just like everyone else. But God, who is so rich in mercy, and He loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, He gave us life when He raised Christ from the dead. It's only by God's grace that you have been saved. For He raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us and all future generations as examples of the incredible wealth of His grace and the kindness towards us, as He's shown in all He's done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. God saved you by His grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this, for it's all a gift from God. Father, I pray the next minutes of time You'll speak to us by Your word, and that You will help us have homes. Pray for single people in the room today, that their homes will be filled with the glory of God. I pray for families with kids in the house, that their homes will be filled with the glory of God, the presence of God. I pray for the empty nesters today, that their home, though it may not be as noisy with the kids as it once was, it'll still be filled with the joy of the Lord and the presence of God. Help our homes to be places that's filled with Your presence. And we'll give You thanks for it. And everybody in the room said amen. So how can our homes be filled with the glory of God? This morning I want to talk to you real quickly on how you can keep your family free from spiritual bondage. Now I know that title in itself seems kind of deep this morning, but Paul, as he writes to the church at Ephesus, he says, once you were dead. How many understand that as believers, though we are believers and we are alive at Christ, we all share this history, and that history is this. We were once all dead in sin, right? At some point, you were dead in sin before you came alive to Christ. At some point, I'm getting kind of preachy, I know, but at somewhere we have gone sideways because we hear the gospel preached as life, it is a life improvement course. But friends, the gospel is not about life improvement. It's about life transformation, where you go from dead to life. Amen? Who were you before Christ? I'll tell you who were. You were dead in sin. Paul highlights that Jesus is the one that brings us from death to life. He's the bondage breaker. He's the one that can break the curses of our sin. Jesus is the one that can break every cycle of abuse and misuse. He's the one that can break the cycle of distrust. And just as God can bring a dead life to life, He can also bring a dead family back to life this morning, including your family, including your home. I have a friend of mine who grew up in a home. Both parents were alcoholics. As far as I know, neither of his parents had ever darkened the door of a church. They were not Christ followers in any shape or form. But this friend of mine, somewhere in his 20s, walked into a church he didn't want to be at, but he heard a gospel message, and Jesus moved him from death to life. And all of a sudden, all the shame and the reproach and the hurt and the harm that had been passed down through his family because of the abuse of alcohol from generation to generation, it was broken on one Sunday night because he gave his life to Christ. Did you know you can break every cycle that is wrong in your family with the help of Jesus Christ? There's no chain he can't break. There's no barrier he can't cross. There's no sickness he can't heal. There's no curse he cannot overcome. Jesus is the one that has the gift of breathing life into dead things, including our homes. That's the business he's in. See, we live in a, we kind of, when I said that word spiritual bondage, some of you think that's like stuff that weirdos have. But we're normal. We prefer better words like this: dysfunction. Can I tell you, when you see dysfunction in someone's home, all that is spiritual bondage dressed up in today's vernacular. That's all it is. I was reading several months ago in this statement I saw it and it began to haunt me too, so much that I began to research and read and pray about this statement. I've come to the conclusion it's absolutely true. Anytime you see dysfunction in someone's life or you see dysfunction in a family, you have to understand that the root of that dysfunction is found in spiritual bondage. There is some sort of truth they have not yet surrendered to. There is some sort of truth they have not embraced. There's a part of their life that they've not given over to Jesus. Well, Pastor, that makes me uncomfortable because we've got some dysfunction in my home. Can I tell you, you don't have to live with that dysfunction in your home. God can break that dysfunction from your home. Amen. Researchers tell us the five greatest dysfunctions in the homes of Americans today. This is in no order, but the first major dysfunction in homes today is caused by substance abuse. I don't know about you, but that's pretty easy to see where that's how that stems from a spiritual bondage, right? When you're finding all your help and your resources, you're putting your hope in some substance other than Christ. You're allowing something to rule your life other than Jesus. It's easy to see how that, we would call it a dysfunction, is actually a spiritual bondage. Another major conflict in homes today, they call it conflict-driven homes, where people don't know how to talk to each other without yelling one another. You know, you don't know how to say no thank you. Instead, you throw a glass across the room. It's conflict-driven. People don't know how to communicate unless they're arguing loudly and have these long-running feuds. Another dysfunction is a violent family atmosphere, whether it's physical abuse or verbal abuse or sexual abuse. Another major dysfunction in our culture today is the authoritarian family. Adolf Hitler has taken up residence dressed up like mom or dad, or maybe even a kid. How many understand it's wrong when the kid calls the shots in the home? Amen? I've seen it happen. All the decisions are not made about the good of the family. It's all about pleasing that one person. It's all about their agenda. Then there's the emotional disconnected family that's dysfunctional. Everything is transactional. We live together, but we don't love each other. And if we do love each other, we don't know how to communicate it. We live into ourselves. It's not hard to see how these major dysfunction. I know the list could go on and on, but for time's sake, I'll just stop right there. How you can see that these major dysfunctions all start sometimes with a few people, but oftentimes there's one person that has a spiritual issue that they're either A, unaware of, or B, unwilling to submit to the Lord. So how can we allow God to heal the hurts in our homes? How can we allow Jesus to bring the dead things to life in us? I want to share a few ways this morning. Number one is I want to ask you to admit that we all need spiritual freedom in our life. Ephesians chapter 2 says, "You once were dead." I want you to say this out loud with me so I know we're on the same page. Once upon a time, I was dead. Did you know that? Once upon a time, we were all dead in our sins. The only exception to that is the people that are still dead in their sin. That's the only two abilities that can be true about us. That's the only two options we have. We are either people who once were dead, or we are people who are still dead in our sins today, because none of us are alive because we had the great idea to start living our life for Jesus, right? We're not that smart. How do you know that, Greg? Because dead people don't think, right? And when you were away from Christ, the Word says you were dead. You need someone to come and breathe life to you. No one comes to the Father as the Holy Spirit draws them and begins to breathe the life of God. I've said it before. All of us on this earth we're in equal need of a Savior. And none of us are going to have... Here's why I'm pointing this out this morning. Is God is not going to walk into our home and transform all the people and the stuff around us unless we first let Him transform us. Some of you have been praying, God, you just need to change my spouse. And His answer might be this: right after I change you. Right? Sometimes I'm afraid that we may be blind to our own need of spiritual transformation. We dress it up. We say, oh, I'm good. I got my stuff together. No. We, on our best day, are still sinners. We're dead unless we submit ourselves to Christ. Spiritual freedom in our home, it always starts with me. It always starts with you. We cannot pray, God, touch my kids, touch my wife, touch my husband, touch my family member, touch my brother, touch my Lord, change them, until we first say, Lord, but first change me. Right? It always starts with us. It always starts at home. And the first home it starts in is my home. It's my life. In John chapter 4, Jesus has an encounter. You know this story, so I'll share it to you and fast forward. But Jesus has an encounter with a lady at the well one day. And Jesus begins to ask her for a drink of water. And she wants to know, why are you talking to me? You're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan. We don't talk to each other. Why are you talking to me? And Jesus said, if you knew who I was and if you knew the gift of God, you would be asking me for a drink, and it would be waters that would cause you to never thirst again. And she doesn't understand what Jesus is saying. She's like, you don't even have a bucket to reach down into this water, into this well, to get some water. But Jesus said, if you would just ask me, I would give you waters that you would never thirst again. What was he offering? He was offering her spiritual life transformation. But Jesus says, well, I'll give it to you, but first, what? Go call your husband. And this woman begins to say, well, I don't have a husband. What did Jesus say? Yeah, you're right, you don't have a husband. What, you've had five husbands, and the person you're in an adulterous relationship right now is not your husband? Jesus is saying to you, have you discovered changing this relationship didn't help you, and 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 getting outside the Word of God and doing my own thing, my own way, the way that everyone else is doing, that hasn't helped you either. But if you'll get honest with God, He can transform you, and when He transforms you, He can transform everything around you, can be transformed. But first, we have to admit that we were dead people who came to life. We need transformation to start in us. We need to get real with God when Romans 3 says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That means me too. And that means you too. The question has never been, have you been a slave to sin? That answer is a resounding yes. Right? I can't believe he's saying that about me. I'm not saying it about you. The Bible says it about you. If you don't like it, get mad at God. We've all sinned. We've all been spiritually dead and needed God to breathe life into us. Because our help is no help. Friends, that same life that God breathed into you at salvation, He can also breathe into your home this morning when you say, Lord, I want my life to change, and I want you to start it with me. Number two, has to start with us. Number two, we have to live our life to please God. Verse number 3 says, we all used to live that way, following the passion, desires, inclinations of our spiritual nature. By our very nature, we're subject to God. You know, I hear people justify sin today. Well, it's just the way I was born. You know, I was born with a quick temper. I've got red hair, and so that gives me permission to spout out in anger. Sorry to all the redheads here. That's just what people tell me. Right? I hear people say, well, it must be the right way to live because it comes natural to me. Can I tell you, there's a better way to live than what comes natural to you? It's to live according to the way you were intended to be created, the way that Christ created in you. There is something better than being born a certain way. It's called being reborn in the life of Jesus Christ. He says all of us used to live that way. Paul's saying that my new life in Christ, you might want to write this down this morning, my new life in Christ should produce a new life in me. A new life in Him produces new living in me. And if a new life in Him hasn't produced a new living in me, then friends, I would ask you upon the authority of God's Word to examine your salvation, examine the reality. Have you really surrendered your life to Christ? Because when I read the book, what I read is that when people encounter Jesus, their life changed. New life in Christ delivers new life in me. Romans chapter 8 says this, therefore, brothers, we have an obligation not to the flesh to live according to it. For you live according to the flesh, the way we used to live, you'll die. But if the Spirit, by the Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, you'll live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. See, when you start following Jesus, Paul uses these words, the way I used to live. I believe that every Christian should have a long list of used to's. Right? I used to live this way. I used to walk that way. I used to talk that way. I used to watch that. I used to listen to that. I used to speak that way. I used to hate people that way. I used to practice that way. I used to feel that way. But 1 Peter says that actually when we come to God, that people should actually be surprised that we don't live the lives that we used to live. The longer I follow Jesus, the more of those used to's I have. Right? More things I used to do that I don't do. But you know, I've discovered there's a lot of other things I used to have as well. See, I used to feel the shame of sin, but it's been delivered from me. I used to know the emptiness of life unfulfilled, but now I've got a friend that's closer than a brother. I used to feel the uncertainty of the future, but now I've got a future that is secure. I used to not have anyone to turn to, but now I've got a friend who will never leave me and he'll never forsake me. I used to know the reality of loneliness, but now I just have the reality of the presence of God. I used to not have an identity, but now my identity is in Christ Jesus because I'm not who I used to be. Friends, let me ask you, how many used to's are in your life today? I think we should all be growing in used to's. I'm not sure if someone looks at us and says, you know, I haven't seen you in 10 years. You haven't changed a bit. I'm not sure that's a compliment. Amen? The churchy word for that is called sanctification. All right, the minute we give our lives to Christ, I know that's kind of a churchy word. The minute we give our lives to Christ, what happens? We're instantly torn away from being wrapped up and identified as sin, and we're wrapped up in the righteousness of God. It happens in a moment. But there's also the other side of the coin. For every day we live, we're becoming more and more like Jesus and less like ourselves. It works the way that John the Baptist prayed, that he must increase and I've got to decrease. But it's about allowing God to change who we used to be. And all of that, by the way, all of that starts at home, right? How do we transform our home? Number one, we admit that we need to be changed ourselves. Number two, we allow that process to start by living for Him instead of living for ourselves, which is where all the used to be's comes in our lives. And three, we have to learn to guard the environment of our home. Look at verse number 6. It says, for He raised us from the dead along with Christ, and He seated us with Him in the heavenly realms. Now, this scripture deserves its own message. But did you understand right now the word says that we are seated in heavenly realms in Christ? That may not make a lot of sense to us in today's vernacular. Maybe you've heard the word, maybe you've heard someone say, I would just like a seat at the table. I would just like to have a seat at some sort of influential place, some place of authority. That's what Jesus is saying, is when we come into Christ, all of a sudden he is changing our environment. Now you might be thinking, oh, Pastor, that says that we're seated with Christ in heavenly places, heavenly realms, and the place I'm in today doesn't feel very heavenly. But friends, what that does mean is that the environment of that heavenly place can flood the environment of your place. I want to say that again. The environment of the heavenly place can flood the environment of your place, because though you may be apart from him in body, he is still present with you in reality. We're seated with him in heavenly places. That's talking about our environment. I read an article several years ago, and it asked this question. It said, what is the greatest invention ever made? Anybody want to guess what it was? Somebody say coffee? You know, I was thinking the automobile, the airplane, the light bulb. The answer, yeah. The answer was, in this article, that the greatest invention ever invented was the air conditioner. Now, in Arkansas in August and even September, I agree, but they're saying the reason why that is the greatest invention ever is because the first time in the history of mankind, man could control his environment. But when Paul says you've been seated in heavenly places, what he's saying is you are not relegated, you don't have to submit to the environment that you're in on earth, because there's another environment in heaven that can flow into your life, that can flow into your home, because you're seated in heavenly places in Christ. See, when I was a kid, my dad's watching online, and he'll probably amen me through the television this morning. When I was a kid, my parents used to say things like this. Don't stand in the doorway looking outside. Use a window. My grandparents would say something like, don't let that paid-for air get outside. How many understand what they were saying? Right? I find myself telling my kids, you know, shut the door. Why do I say that? Because when they have the door open, my environment is leaking out. And that 98% Arkansas environment, humidity environment, it's coming in. And when the door's open, you're messing up my environment. Need I preach anymore, or can you just connect the dots? God is wanting to infuse your life, infuse your home. You've been seated with Christ in heavenly places, but friends, you got to keep the door shut to this world. You got to stop letting all the glory of God out and letting the glory of this world fill its place. You're trading a lesser glory for a higher glory. You got to guard the environment of your home. And friends, dads, moms, if you're not going to guard it, who will? Well, Pastor, wait, how do I guard the environment of my home? How about this? The words I let come out of my mouth. The things I let play on my television screen. Oh, you're just being old school now. You know, there's some things that they taught in the old school that worked. What things am I being entertained by? Did you know that what you laugh at today, you'll accept tomorrow? That's one of the first introduction on television to everything homosexual in nature was where they were always comedies, because they thought, if we can get you to laugh at it today, we'll get you to buy into full acceptance tomorrow. What substances are allowed in your home? Do you understand all of these things are ways that you open the gate? You open the door? Some of you are getting ticked off at me right now. I can feel it. But let me ask you, what do you want more? Your right to hang on to certain things, or the presence of God in your home? we sit together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. He is desiring to flood your life and your home with the glory of God. But it's our job to keep the door shut. See, let me just spill it out straight. Compromise and disobedience opens the door to the enemy's work in your life. That's why the scripture says, you know, don't go to bed angry. Why? Because if you do so, what happens? You're giving the devil a foothold. You're opening the door. You're opening your environment to things that your environment shouldn't be open to. I learned a long time ago, and you can learn it this morning, or you can ignore it. It's not going to change the truth. I can either justify my sin and argue the right I have to do it, but I cannot avoid the damage it brings. And four, last, I know I'm keeping you over this morning. Megan, if you want to come. Four, realize that you can be. Here's why the environment is so important. Environment is huge. I mean, environment is so important. That's why the Bible starts with God creating the environment. Right? Did you notice that God created the environment before he created man? Because he knew he had to stick that man in the right environment in order for him to flourish. If he made the man first without the environment, the man would have died. What happens to you and I when we don't tend to environments in our home? We're putting ourselves in things that will kill us instead of things that bring life to us. And then we wonder why we're dying. Sorry, that's just extra. Point four. But God wants you. Realize this. God wants you. He wants you. He wants you to be an example of what he can do in a life. I love that scripture. That for generations to come, he wants to point at you. Think about that. God wants to point at you and say, look, here's what I can do with a life that's fully surrendered to me. Hey, this is what I can do. This is what I can do with something that was dead in sin. Look at the life I can bring. If I'll just admit my need for a Savior, if I'll just decide I'm going to live my life for Jesus and not for myself, if I'll just decide I'm going to open my door to His environment and do everything I can to close the door to other environments. Listen, I know you can't help what goes on in the world, but you can help what goes on in your home. I'm not going to give an account to what goes on in the world, but I am going to give an account for what goes on in my home. Understand that? That's why we need some people to be like Joshua. Says, hey, choose today who you're going to serve. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord, right? Because God wants you to be an example of God's work. And he can use you. There's not a person in the room who's too old or too young for God to use you to transform your home or the environments that God puts you in. Never forget a young lady who's a member of our youth ministry. She prayed every Sunday. She prayed every Wednesday. God, save my dad. Her dad grew up in church, got involved in some kind of church hurt, left home, just embraced a lifestyle of sin, and mom made sure the young girl was in church on Wednesdays and Sundays, and it just like clockwork, you knew she was going to say that prayer. This is going to be her prayer request. God, touch my dad, save my dad. And he never came to church, he never changed until one Sunday night, we were having this program, and he came to watch his daughter in that program. And in that moment, the pastor just felt compelled to give an altar call. And this guy came down and he gave his life to Jesus. He became a great leader of that church. And if you ask him today, why are you a Christ follower? He'll tell you, it's because my daughter kept praying for me. And my daughter kept showing me the love of Jesus. I'm just saying, God can use an 11-year-old girl. He can use a 70-year-old guy. He can use anyone. Anyone that will live for Him, God can point to them and say, that's what I can do in a life that has changed. Some of y'all don't understand this. You think you're going to church. I mean, you think you're going to work Monday through Friday incognito that no one notices that you live for Christ. You don't understand that the Holy Spirit of God is pointing at your life saying, this is what I can do through someone who is fully submitted to me. They may treat you worse. Sometimes you'll be wondering, man, why do people treat me so bad? It's because you're living for God. The Holy Spirit's been pointing you out to people. And they want what you have. They're just not to that place of surrender today. But I want you to know God is wanting to point to your home, point to your life, saying, this is what I can do with a life. So here's my prayer. Father, we want you to do everything you desire to do in our homes. And God, if that means transforming me first, then God, transform me. Lord, if that means me changing a way that I've been living for myself and start living for you, God, I make that decision today. I'm going to live for you and not for myself. And God, if there's something in the environment of my life that I've been allowing the environment of the world to infiltrate too much in the environment of my home, God, just lead me in that way. Highlight to me that filter I need to put on. Highlight to me that gate I need to shut. Highlight to me that door I need to close. Highlight to me, Lord, what I need to do to protect that domain that you've given me. And Lord, use me as an example for others. So God, I pray over this congregation today. God, I pray that our houses, I pray that our homes, homes of single people, homes of married people, homes of married people with kids, empty nesters, all of it. God, we just pray that our homes will declare the presence of God and that every bit of spiritual bondage that would try to edge its way in would be removed. It would be exposed and then it would be removed as people submit themselves to you fresh and new. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. I know I kept you about 13 minutes too long today, but forgive me. If no one's told you they love you yet today, I'm going to tell you I love you. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday. Have a wonderful holiday weekend. God bless you. Thanks for being here. If you're a first-time guest, I'll be in the foyer. I'd love to greet you and meet you. Put a gift in your hands.
Hello, this is Greg Sanders, pastor of the Assembly here in Cabot. I want to say thanks for listening today. If you are ever in the Cabot area, we'd love to have you join us for a service. For service times, check out our webpage at theassemblycabot.com. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great day, and God bless.